Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Find Me Worthy by Annabeth Albert. Narrated by Elliot Sands and Lance West. Chapter 1. Worth. This was still my tree. I had no clue what I was doing in Safe Harbor on the 4th of July, a town I hadn't been to in nearly 20 years. Sitting in front of a house that hadn't belonged to me in almost as long. My back was pressed against the same massive Oregon white oak where I'd spent many an hour sitting and thinking as a kid. It had been from here that I could watch the neighborhood, especially on nights like this, when the sounds of barbecues and gatherings filtered all down the block, and here where I could think. I wasn't a kid anymore, wasn't that same person. Hadn't been in forever. But here I was, sitting under the same tree. A little wider now, both me and the tree. A little more gnarly with age. Wild branches and rumpled leaves. We both needed a good trim. The ground under me was mossy and soft, years of shade from the dense leaf canopy keeping the grass at bay. The ground stayed cool and damp even in the middle of summer. The evening air brought a chill as well, not uncommon for the mercurial Oregon summer weather. Or maybe that was the cold in my soul, icy and directionless. August would be far warmer, but I wouldn't be here then. Heck, I didn't fully believe I was here now. I stared at the house, but it had nary an answer. Darkness had started to fall, and with it, the sound of fireworks and backyard celebrations picked up, making me more aware of how very alone I was. My gaze turned inward, unfocused. The last 48 hours, okay, the last 40 damn years, catching up with me. Worth? The sound of my name snapped me alert. A younger guy holding the scroungiest, ugliest Chelty mix stood in front of me in my tree. The white wooden front gate hung open. "Who are you?" I demanded. The guy was younger than me, probably early to mid-30s, with darkish hair and lighter eyes. It was hard to determine color at night, but he was slim with a strong bone structure. No one I recognized, although clearly he knew me.
"You don't know?"
The guy sounded disappointed as he bent to retrieve a phone from the ground. And if I had any more self-recrimination in me, I might feel bad. "Sorry, man. Been a lot of years since I was back around these parts."
"I know."
His voice was flat as he shifted the scraggly dog to his other side.
"I'm Sam."
Oh, Sam. This was Sam. And if I'd checked social media any time in the last decade, I might have known that. "Sam Bookman? But you're..." I trailed off because both "you turned out hot" and "you're supposed to still be a kid" were wildly inappropriate. "What are you doing here?" I asked instead. "Don't you live on the other side of town?"
"I live here."
Sam's tone was somewhere between patient and irritated.
"This is my house. You're on my front lawn."
He gave me one hell of a pointed look. The Sam I'd known once upon a time was endlessly chipper and never got irritated. But perhaps I was to blame there. I seemed to try everyone's patience lately, including my own. "Oh." I scrubbed my hair, suddenly aware of exactly how many hours it had been since my last shower. "That's right. You bought the place. I heard that. Forget from who." The house and my tree had been through one bad owner after another. It was a wonder both were still standing. My stomach knotted itself, empty but angry, and the longer Sam stared at me, the more I had to fight the urge to rub my middle.
"Worth, why are you here?"
A bottle rocket whistled, a pink firework bursting over Sam's head. The light revealed his auburn hair, a deeper shade than the candy apple red it had been as a kid.
"Why now? You didn't come for your mother's memorial."
"I didn't. Nothing to do but agree.
Sam didn't need to know I'd had a ticket to Portland, a hotel reservation too. In fact, despite shaking hands and a queasy stomach, I'd been debating which suit to pack when the feds had shown up at my high-rise condo, and that had been that. No doing the right thing. The expected thing. Story of my whole damn life. Memorial. I hated that word. It sounded so tidy. Serene and peaceful almost. Unlike the other M word. Missing. The word that had ridden shotgun with me ever since my mom's disappearance 20 years ago. And then the M word I could barely wrap my brain around. Murder. I hated that word most of all. Unlike memorial, it was a gory, messy word, bringing drama and chaos, upending everything I thought I'd known, including the 2 decades I'd spent convinced my father was behind the disappearance. He wasn't. A serial killer was. The reopening of the cold case had proven that, and the truth was so much more complicated than any story I'd told myself to get through the long years of not knowing.
You don't reply to my messages anymore, either.
Sam had been 13 or 14 the year I'd been 18. He'd had a young teen's voice and had always been popping up where I least wanted him. Some things apparently never changed. But other things were radically different, like Sam's melodic, radio-worthy voice having no trace of his bouncy teen mannerisms. And his adult voice was far harder to dismiss. The tone used by teachers everywhere, a scolding that wasn't easily ducked.
From what I hear, I'm not alone in getting ghosted. Should I call Holden or Monroe for you?
God, no. I couldn't have either of my oldest friends see me like this.
And if I couldn't explain to myself why I was here, no way would I be able to answer the questions of 2 professional investigators.
And I, had to change numbers recently. Long story. I waved a hand. But I did get your messages before that. I might have fallen behind on liking a few memes, but...
A few,
Sam sighed, dog wriggling in his arms. About a year ago, messages had started appearing. First from Monroe and Holden, who were championing the reopening of my mother's cold case. Then from Sam, the kid from my past who'd always wanted to be the sidekick to our little group. Unlike Monroe and Holden, who wanted answers, Sam apparently wanted nothing more than to send me positive-thinking memes and funny cats. And he'd never know, but there were days, hell, weeks, where he'd been my only reason to crack a smile. Hey, I pointed at the dog. In all the memes, and there had likely been dozens, it was always cats doing silly things, never dogs. Aren't you a cat person? Kaboom! Another firework went off, and the dog leaped from Sam's arms to my lap.
I am. Trust me that Delilah is not going to be amused, but I found this girl all alone and scared. I need to check my phone. Safe Harbor has an app now for used furniture, yard sales, and things like lost pets.
This dog won't be on the app. Narrowing my eyes, I peered at the dog's ratty collar, almost hidden by her dense fur. The silver tag had been attacked with some sort of metal implement, the name and contact info scratched out. Someone dumped her on purpose.
In Safe Harbor?
Sam's frown deepened.
I found her in a nice neighborhood over by Holden's house.
Yes, Sam, in Safe Harbor. I mocked his horror. Hard to imagine, but bad things happen here, too.
I know they do.
Sam had a piercing gaze, seeing so much more than I wanted, even in the dark. And in his shrewd expression, I saw the last year play out, my mom's cold case getting resurrected, providing all the proof anyone needed that bad things happened in Safe Harbor. Even perfect small towns weren't immune from serial killers. Hell, I was undoubtedly now one of those terrible occurrences. The prodigal son who couldn't even make his own mother's memorial. The shame. I could hear the pearl clutchers, How much louder would they be if everyone here knew the truth? It was bound to come out. Only a matter of time. The heavy sense of doom that had plagued me for days intensified. No way out. Looking away, I returned to the dog's collar. No phone number, no address. Can't even make out the name anymore.
Luckily, my understanding is that dogs are quick to learn new names. The animal shelter should be open tomorrow, and hopefully she finds a new family and new name fast.
Sam's tone was pragmatic, but something in his offhand tone pissed me off. So what? She gets a place to stay for the night? Then she's someone else's problem to solve? I pet the dog's shuddering head. I wasn't being fair. Sam could have left the beast where he'd found her, but my rant kept gathering steam. What if she's sick, injured, old, and she stinks? What if the shelter doesn't have time to make her presentable? Not all dogs get adopted, you know? My voice cracked on the word adopted.
I do know a thing or two about strays, Sam said mildly.
And oh, that was right. He ran some sort of charity for at-risk youth, putting them to work in a non-profit coffee shop. Crouching, he lifted the quaking dog back off my lap.
It's okay, girl. The fireworks will be over soon. Not everyone likes the 4th of July.
I used to love it, I blurted. Big stack of fireworks, mom's potato salad, friends over for a big barbecue, red, white, and blue bunting on the front porch, twinkling lights on the back deck.
I remember.
Still kneeling, he petted the dog before standing and studying me closely. Too closely.
Come inside, Worth. Let's get your princess cleaned up and see what we're dealing with here.
You can't call her princess. That's like the most cliché dog name of all time. I ignored the hand he offered to help me up. I was staying right where I was.
And yet you seem determined to be her white knight.
Finally dropping his hand, Sam looked down at the dog.
Okay, Buttercup, let's see if we can sneak you past Queen Delilah.
Buttercup is hardly... I paused, another tendril of a memory snaking its way through my brain. Movie night, youth group at church, old movie, everyone quoting parts they'd long since memorized. Sam's laughing face popping up over the back of a couch where I sat with some girl. Late night, hide and seek, Sam raiding the junk food with Holden and me. What are you going to do after graduation, Worth? Take on the world. God, if I could only go back. My voice dropped to a hoarse whisper. Okay, we can call her Buttercup.
We? Are you coming in to help then?
Another firework sounded, and the dog whimpered pitifully. You want me to come inside the house?
That is where the shower is, Sam said mildly. Were you planning to spend all night under this tree?
Not sure I had a plan. Understatement of the fucking century. I closed my eyes. Just wanted to find my tree.
My tree?
Sam was quick to correct me. Not mean, just accurate, but damn, that stung. You know what I mean. I pursed my lips.
I do.
He pursed his right back, a stalemate. Anyway, I thought if I could just sit here long enough, I might find... God, I don't even know. I hefted myself to my feet, irritated at my own ridiculousness. A reason? Sounds stupid saying it aloud.
No, it doesn't.
Sam exhaled hard, voice gentling.
But I have to say, you look pretty rough. Did you sleep on the plane?
No plane, I drove. I pointed at his driveway. I'd parked in the back like I always used to. I was surprised he hadn't noticed my Beamer, but maybe I was surprised enough. The car pointed itself north and, well, here I am.
Sounds like quite the plan.
Plan A, B, C, and D have all failed. My voice was as caustic as my stomach. Fuck it. No more plans.
What happened?
Sam's voice wasn't unkind, but the way he shifted the dog and glanced at the front porch said he was quickly losing patience with my delay tactics.
Guess you'll find out soon enough.
No more eager to enter the house, I relieved him of the dog, who cuddled her damp self right into my dress shirt. Oh well, I'd seen worse. Surprised the gossip hasn't arrived ahead of me, actually.
Why don't you tell me?
Sighing, Sam perched on the top step. I half expected him to break out treats next, to lure me up the steps like a lost puppy. You already know the start of my story. Local boy makes good. Stanford MBA, cushy investment banker job, high-rise condo, living the life. I paused for dramatic effect, waiting for Sam to nod. And then, it all crumbles. Perry and Ellis is no more. Sam narrowed his eyes.
You worked for Perry and Ellis?
Ah, he does know my story, I said to the dog before returning my attention to Sam. Yep, the same investment firm making headlines for duping customers, embezzling funds, and a pretty sweet Ponzi scheme. And me? I was their star associate on an inside partnership track. I was Perry's right-hand man up until the feds hauled him away, and he squawked like an angry parrot to anyone who would listen about how Ellis masterminded the scheme.
So you lost your job?
Sam asked when I paused for a breath.
The scandal broke months ago, I thought.
Oh, it gets better. No job and not much savings because I was strung out on credit, waiting for the partnership offer to come, trying to keep up with a high-dollar lifestyle. Thank God I paid for my car with my last big bonus, or else I guess I'd be on a bus to nowhere tonight. My condo foreclosed because, silly me, I kept waiting for everything to blow over. Except it didn't. I've got no hope for a new job because the whole damn world, including every last friend and contact in the financial world, thinks I was in on it.
Were you?
Sam asked as casually as if he were inquiring if I preferred fries or tots with my burger.
How can you ask me that? Because your answer matters,
he shrugged.
If you say you didn't do it, you didn't.
You can't just take someone's word for something like that, Sam. Jeez. If only life were that damn easy. Sam might be all grown up now, but I seriously worried about his naivete.
Well, did you?
He sounded fully prepared to believe me either way, which was all kinds of disconcerting. First, the kid had had a serious case of hero worship for me way back when, which seemed to have all but evaporated. Also, even without the blind adoration, Sam seemed willing to believe the best of me at a time when no one else was, not even me. Nope, I wish. I gave a bitter laugh. I'd be on an island somewhere drinking away the money I'd stashed in offshore accounts. But no, I'm worth Stapleton. Local golden boy and village idiot who didn't know a damn thing until the Fed showed up on my doorstep. I defended Perry. Not that it did any good because he'd already talked, making me look even worse.
I'm sorry.
Wonder of wonders. Sam actually sounded like he meant it.
If it matters, I believe you.
I made a distressed noise. My stomach burned like hot ashes had landed with Sam's every word. He believed me. Wow. The surprise might be enough to lift my bleak mood if I were still capable of hope and wonder. However, like my stomach, I'd taken up permanent residence in a fiery hell. No one else does. And unless you've got a Fortune 500 company hiring, I'm not sure it makes a hell of a lot of difference.
Nope.
He way too readily agreed with me.
No job offer. Just a smelly dog who needs a shower and a couch you can crash on.
Standing back up, he approached the front door.
coming?
Chapter 2. Sam. Coming? I waited, hand on the doorknob. The way I saw things, Worth had two options: follow me into the house, or remain on my front lawn while I called for friend backup, or a mental health evaluation, which he likely needed more than Monroe or Holden making an appearance. Through my work with at-risk teens, I had extensive experience with individuals with a high likelihood of self-harm. Worth ticked all those boxes. No place to live, no job, no purpose, no social network, a stated lack of plan, seemingly disoriented and distressed to find himself here in search of something he didn't seem certain of wanting. Support? Someone to believe in him? None of that seemed to make a difference. He kept right on snapping at my outstretched hand, so to speak. The dirty dog he was holding was far better behaved. And I was all kinds of messed up because I preferred his outright hostility to the several months of ghosting. I'd missed his thumbs-ups, funny emoji, and the occasional witty one-liner. And I'd liked knowing he was at least alive and somewhat okay amid all the news about his mom and the case around her disappearance. However, with each new development in the case, his responses to my texts had become increasingly sporadic. Understandable, for 20 years, Worth had steadfastly sided with the public opinion that his father had likely killed his mother and hidden the body, which would be traumatic enough, but that wasn't what happened. New evidence had been uncovered over the last year, tying a serial killer to the area, and worse, there was evidence his mom might have had an affair of sorts with the man. The discovery of her remains and the recent confession of the serial killer was proof enough for most people of Worth's father's innocence, especially now that the confession had led to quick sentencing. The serial killer would spend life in jail, but it was Worth's life I was more concerned with right then. Whatever was going on in Worth's head about the case, he wasn't talking, not to me, not to other friends. And at the moment, he wasn't moving either, stubbornly rooted to the same spot near the tree. Fireworks went off overhead, but Worth didn't so much as flinch. Fine. Crossing the porch again, I moved to take the dog from him, but she growled at me. I made a show of stepping back. I hope it's not more vicious than I thought. I don't want the thing to bite me.
Buttercup is not a thing.
Worth had exactly the reaction I'd hoped for. Haughty as a princess himself, nose tilted backward, he marched himself and Buttercup up the porch steps, deigning to wait for me to open the door.
"It's unlocked?"
He frowned as I turned the handle. "It's safe harbor," I said by way of explanation, which only made his frown deepen. "I keep forgetting I'm a homeowner now, but I'm not worried."
"I am."
He stepped inside exactly far enough to allow me to shut the door, then gasped.
"Where did all this color come from?"
"A paint can?" I smiled. I was still getting used to the house myself, both my ownership of it and all the renovations that had been necessary after years of neglect. The house had always had strong craftsman bones, but my brain kept trying to reconcile its present updated state with my childhood memories of gatherings here when the house had reflected random decades of changes. 80s tile counters in the kitchen, 90s mini blinds in the windows, 60s wallpaper lingering in the stairwell, an original clawfoot tub hanging out next to a more modern, hastily installed shower. Despite the mismatch of decor vibes, the whole place had been meticulously clean, nary a dusty bunny, or color, none of that either.
"The walls in here were always cream with white trim, always."
Worth sounded legitimately pained, not mad, hurt.
"And there's no furniture in here other than that old couch."
He pointed at my parents' old leather sectional, the only furniture downstairs, besides a kitchen table and some chairs. The place was definitely a work in progress. Worth, taking my chances with the dog, I approached him. You knew the house wasn't going to be the same, right? Mouth clamped shut, he shook his head. It's had a number of owners since the original estate auction and sale. I didn't need to point out that he hadn't come home for that either, letting the probate process play out from a distance. With no other family to speak of, he'd received the funds from the sale, but had clearly failed to process that the house as he knew it was gone. Partial renovations, bad renters, vandalism, squatters, failed purchases. The house has been through a lot the last 20 years. And so had he. Not that he seemed inclined to open up to me about the life he'd led away from Safe Harbor, the life he'd now apparently lost. He'd arrived here looking for a past that no longer existed, and it broke my heart more than a little that he wouldn't find it here. Getting to this point has been months of work. Monroe's guy, Knox, is a contractor and an artist, and thrifty. While trying to stay true to the house's character, he did raid the bargain paint bin. I gestured at the walls, which transitioned colors from room to room. Navy here near the entrance, olive green in the living room, ruby in the dining room beyond that, a hint of marigold showing from the kitchen in the rear of the house. A very northwest palette of muted but abundant color, including painted shelves and accent pieces like the built-ins and fireplace surround.
I'll say.
Worth swallowed hard enough to make me fear he might hurl on the polished hardwood floors.
I don't hate it. It's just...
Not home, I suggested. He blanched, pale skin going more pasty, so I softened my voice further. I'm sorry it's not what you were expecting, but I like the colors, and I think my kids will, too.
You have kids?
His eyebrows shot upward. Are you old enough?
Wait, of course you're old enough.
I'm 35 now. I kept my voice patient. In fact, there were times I felt behind on my dreams. I'd wanted a large family since childhood, but always assumed I'd find the one first. Then I'd be able to put an inheritance from my grandparents into buying this house. It was past time to chase my parenthood goals, partner or not. But I'm talking about the teens I help. That's my whole purpose in buying the property. It'll give me more options, especially for teens under 18. I've spent the last year working to become a certified foster parent. As a single guy, I faced a bit of an uphill battle in that department, but Worth didn't need my bureaucratic complaints, not when he looked in danger of keeling over any second. I could already tell that any attempts to have him sit or coddle him would be met with resistance, so I shifted my focus to the other pressing problem. Let's take the dog to the laundry room sink. I briskly led the way through the living room and dining rooms to the kitchen and the laundry room beyond that, which contained a washer and dryer, along with a deep industrial sink perfectly sized for a small to medium dog. I gestured for Worth to set Buttercup in the sink. She whimpered like Worth was abandoning her on an iceberg, but my concern was more for Worth's shaking hands. Are you okay?
Not sure. Might be having an out-of-body experience.
Worth gave an unsteady laugh.
I keep seeing colors where they're not supposed to be.
Are you sober? Placing a hand on the dog to keep her from jumping out of the sink, I peered more closely at Worth. Buttercup wasn't the only one who needed a shower. His suit was rumpled to the point that I wasn't sure the cleaners downtown would be able to fix it. His eyes were puffy and bloodshot, which could be exhaustion or something more concerning. Take anything today I should know about?
Thought about it.
Worth slumped against a nearby utility stool.
But no, my stupid stomach can't handle half a cocktail anymore. My body won't let me get drunk, and I'm too broke for other types of highs.
Not exactly reassuring. I pointed at a shelf full of emergency supplies, like a flat of water bottles, behind us. Grab a drink, start chugging.
You've gotten bossy.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?